सह नौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति।
The eighth chapter entitled as Yoga of Imperishable Brahman. Akshara Brahma Yoga is in the middle portion of the Gita. As you know, the entire Gita is a what? Explanation of Tattvamasi. The Upanishads declare Tattvam Asi. When you ask them about the truth, the reality, the declaration is Tattvam Asi. That reality, the what? The Tvam, you, the individual aspect is spoken in the first six chapters. Jiva Swarupa, individual nature, and Jiva Prayatnam, the individual effort. These two were emphasized in the first six chapters. When the individual puts in effort, he has to put it in the spirit of yoga. Then it will become karma yoga. So the first six chapters talks about or emphasizes on karma yoga. The middle six chapters talk about tat. As we discussed, tat means the paramatma, the god, the reality. So the Ishvara is being emphasized in the middle six portion. The chapter comes in that middle six portion, as you know. So Ishvara Swarupa and Ishvara Anugraha. Gods are Lord's nature and the grace of the Lord. The individual effort draws the grace of the Lord when the individual effort is in the right spirit. If the individual effort is devoid of ego, then it draws the Lord's grace. Lord's grace is universally available to everybody, but it draws the Lord's grace when it's with the right spirit. So the middle six portion talks about Ishvara Swarupa, Ishvara Anugraha, and therefore emphasizing on Upasana or Bhakti. Upasana or Bhakti. The last six chapters emphasize on the connection between the two, the Jiva and the Ishvara. The Jnana portion is emphasized in the last six, how the Jiva is essentially the Ishvara. That is the emphasis in the last six chapters. So in the middle six chapters, Upasana is emphasized. What does Upasana mean? Sitting near. Upasana. Sitting near God means what? Mental sitting near God. Not physical. Physically you may be sitting near an idol, but mentally you may not be with God. Maybe somewhere else. So Upasana is a mental activity. First. And the word Upasana, though generally we use for both Saguna and Nirguna, technically it is only Saguna. When you talk about Nirguna Ishvara Upasana, it becomes Jnana Yoga. Right?
It becomes Jnana.
Yeah, Nirguna Ishvara Upasana is nothing but Jnana Yoga. So therefore, whenever we use the word Upasana, we mean Saguna Ishvara Upasana. Saguna Ishvara, which is mentally you are doing action in the direction of the Lord. Jnana is basically, as I told you, Nirguna. This is not Nirguna, this is Saguna. Not everybody is able to conceive of God as one who is beyond Gunas.
without attributes. You need some symbol, some mental thing, you know, to identify it. Otherwise you don't know what to identify. Supposing you say, God is beyond gunas, you are not able to send your thoughts. Therefore, you need an idol, either gross or subtle. Right, a Shivalinga, Ram idol, or a mantra, Om, some Om, whatever. All these are symbols. So, all that he is trying to tell here is that in this Upasana, in this 8th chapter, that Brahman is imperishable. That reality, truth, is imperishable. That imperishable pervades all the perishable. Right? And we, all of us, are a combination of the perishable and the imperishable. But while being the combination, we have the ability to identify with the imperishable and play about so that our life becomes enriched and we attain the imperishable. So the emphasis in this chapter actually is on as you think, so you become. Where is your identification? So clearly in the beginning, the chapter begins with Arjuna's question, which is actually from the last chapter. Because in the last chapter, 7th chapter, Lord Krishna used certain words. And Arjuna is seeking clarification, which is relevant to this chapter. Because you must understand, see, always remember, God is defined in three levels in our pictures. First, the beginning level, which we can call primary school level. Give me. In primary school level, God is defined as what? God is defined as creator. Somebody who created this world. You don't ask any question, you accept the primary school level. Then slowly you start questioning, if he created this world, where was he when he created this world and who created that world in which he was? Then you have come to high school now. High school, higher secondary, graduation, that once again. So that stage they say, God did not create this world. God himself or herself or itself, I don't know how to address. So yes, since it's ladies class, let us address herself safely. God herself has manifested as the world. Initially, God created the world. Then God is one which is manifested as the world. This is what level? High school to graduation, post graduation. That is also not ultimate. Finally, if you come to PhD level, you say, God also did not evolve as world. It is all in your mind. You are seeing the world. What is there is only God. Whatever else you are seeing is illusion, is your perception. With me. That is the PhD level. We both did it. To form together. So, in the beginning, Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to define Brahman, Adhyatma, Karma, Adi Bhuta, Adi Deva, Adi Yajna. All these are in a way nothing but Brahman and the modified Brahman only. Right? Actually, whatever is there is nothing but Brahman only. So the Brahman and the manifested Brahman put together is all these words. So first he defines Brahman. What is Brahman? Akshara Brahma Parama. He says, Akshara Brahma Parama. The supreme imperishable is Brahman. The imperishable aspect is called Brahman. And he calls it as supreme because Akshara can be misunderstood as word or letter. So he says supreme Akshara. Supreme Akshara is what? Akshara is a letter. When you pronounce the letter, sound is there. Supreme Akshara is silence. In a way, supreme Akshara is nothing but silence. How? Silence pervades the sound. Silence is before the sound, during the sound, after the sound. It never perishes. Sound perishes. Are you with me? So that real truth is Brahman, which is Akshara. Brahman is imperishable. Then, what is Adhyatma? Adhyatma is one's own self, nature. In other words, there is no difference between Brahman and Adhyatma. They are one and the same. The word Brahman is used with reference to macrocosm. The word Atma is used with reference to microcosm. Sun and sun's ray. Sun above and sun's ray, there is no difference. Are you with me? Exactly like that. Atma, the word is used with reference to microcosm, you the individual. Macrocosm, with reference to macrocosm, the word Brahman is used. When the individual do not know this truth, that his original self is Atma Brahman, he or she assumes an individual identity, separates oneself from the total, and the ego is born. Identifying with that ego, the papa and punya he or she commits. As a result of his or her papa and punya, he is born. You are born now in this Janma because of your past papa and punya. And why did you commit papa or punya in the past? Because of what? Ignorance of the self. As a result of which you separate, you created a separate identity for yourself. You see, in this Janma, if you take this knowledge of the self and you drop the ego, you thereafter do not create any papa or punya. Thereafter there is no more birth for you. So the cause of your birth is karma, which is the ignorance of the self. Is that clear? Next, adibhutam kim? This adibhutam is nothing but perishable aspect. Everything that perishes is called adibhutam. Then the indweller is called adideva. The indweller is what? With reference to the individual, it's the mind. With reference to the total, it is a total mind. Technical word for that is Hiranya Garbha. The total mind, with reference to macrocosm, it is the total mind. The reflected consciousness. The conditioned consciousness is the indweller. The Adi? Deva. Please understand this. Brahman, I gave this example in the class, I think. When you boil water using heat, the nature of heat is what? Hot. The heat, so the nature of water is what? Sorry, the nature of fire is what? We use fire and boil water. The nature of fire is what? Heat and light. When you boil the water using fire, the water becomes hot. The heat aspect of the fire is reflected in the water. But the light aspect you don't see. But when you burn iron rod using fire, the iron rod reflects both the heat aspect of the fire as well as the light aspect. Are you with me? Similarly, when Brahman manifests through the gross body, the gross elements, the matter, the gross matter, not the subtle matter, only the Sat is expressed. Brahman is nothing but Sat Chit Ananda. Sat Chit Ananda is the Swarupa of Brahman. Brahman Sat means existence aspect alone is manifesting in the rock. Is your rock just exists? A piece of wood simply exists. So the existence, Sat means existence, Chit means consciousness, Ananda means bliss. So Swarupa of Brahman is what? Existence, consciousness, bliss. So the existence aspect is manifesting in the rock, gross matter. Are you with me? But in you and me and all of us, we are existence also and conscious also. Are you with me? The same Brahman's quality, both qualities are manifesting in us. Both the existence and consciousness. Are you with me? So the, just like in the iron rod, heat and light. But in water only, heat. Brahman only is manifesting. The consciousness is there. Why? Because we have subtle matter called the mind. When the subtle matter is there, consciousness is reflected through that. With reference to the total, it is called Adideva. Okay. Then, the same, beyond all this, as pure consciousness, is Adiyajna. There, it is only pure consciousness. Adi Yajna. Is that clear? In other words, nothing but Brahman and manifested Brahman. The whole thing. Okay. Now, like I told you, we have a choice. Being born as a reflected conscious beings, we have a choice. What choice? Now to either identify with the manifested Brahman called the world, or to identify with the unmanifested imperishable Brahman while functioning in the world. Can you repeat this? There is imposition. Two times.
We have a choice to either hold the sign, the manifested
identify with the manifested Brahman for the world,
or the unmanifested, which is
unmanifested Brahman, which is our real self, while acting in the world. Not when sitting in the Gita class only. Gita class also, if you don't identify with Brahman, then God doesn't know what to do. Gita class, we are talking about it, so you'll be thinking about Brahman, Atman, everything. Right? Gita class say, you go home. Then what happens? I was told some people's book remains in the car only. I hope not. They belong to this class. Right? In other words, please remember this. We have a choice. And the greatest human being or great human being is one who exercises this choice and identifies with Brahman, the imperishable aspect, while functioning in the world. Again and again I will repeat that. Not only when he is sitting in meditation. Are you with me? Others only during Gita class. Others never, even they don't come to Gita class, they will only be thinking about the world 24/7. Believe me. So Krishna says, which was also part of Arjuna's question, because in the previous chapter itself Krishna talked about, as you think, so you become. So Arjuna is asking, at the time of death, how are you to be thought about? So Krishna says, at the time of death, if you identified with the self, you will go to self. If you identified with the world, you will come back to the world. What matters is your last thought. But last thought cannot suddenly be of God. If all your life, it has not been about God. Your last thought will be what? The resultant of all your thoughts while living. So therefore Lord Krishna says, Tasma Sarveshu Kalishu Ma Anusmara Kicha Mayarpita Manobuddhi Mamevaishati Asamshayaha. Which verse is this of this chapter? Which verse of this chapter I am saying? Madhuji is saying second chapter.
No, I said
it. Which verse of this chapter is this? Seventh verse. Chapter 8 verse 7 says, what does it say?
All the time remember.
What does it say?
Tasmat.
Therefore, at all times, sarveshu kalishu, while eating, while sleeping, while talking, even while gossiping. In fact, while gossiping, if you remember Brahman, gossiping will stop. You understand? I told you already, whenever you are in a conscious state, you cannot become negative. Negative only gets developed in the dark room. When you are not conscious, you do gossiping. All negative things you do. Right? Conscious state, you never do gossiping. Suddenly, after all gossiping, when you go home, you start getting agitated, which is the result of your gossiping. Excuse me. When you get agitated, then you say, why am I getting agitated? Which means you were not conscious and you were gossiping. Because you sowed the seed that time, now you are reaping the agitation. Excuse me. So, you have a choice to identify with Brahman and function. Which is what? Hatha Yoga, Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga. Lifestyle will be like that for you. As you think, as your lifestyle is, your last thought will be. And if your last thought happens to be Brahman, Krishna says, without doubt, you shall come to me. Shall come to me means what? Thereafter, there is no more rebirth for you. Again, you don't have to go through all these things. Get into a womb, then come out of the womb, then try for the milk, then try to crawl, stand up, walk, run around. You understand? All samsaric cycle you don't have to. Not only that, you shall come to me does not mean after death. The more you identify with Brahman, here and now you will exhaust your vasanas. As a result of which what will happen is, you will start enjoying your life here and now. Each and every moment of your life will become lively. What will it become? Now what is it? Like a bulb that is fused. You understand? Suddenly little sometimes lose connection. Have you seen? Again, once in a while we laugh, smile, we enjoy. And oh, dukkha, 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 dukkha. Suddenly, dukkha, dukkha, dukkha. You understand? That's how we are going. Now, once you identify with Brahman, which means what? Being conscious in your life starts becoming lively. So if anybody asks you, studying Vedanta, what change will happen in your life, what will you say? Your life will start becoming lively. Because nowadays people think Vedanta means you will give up and run away. You will give up your life and go away. Your life will be taken away by Vedanta. No! It's a wrong understanding. Very difficult to control Vedanta. You understand? Take the example of Krishna. He gave wrong examples of Vedanta. It will be lively. Even take the example of Ram. Then tomorrow it was declared, it was announced. Tomorrow morning he is going to be coronated. Tomorrow morning. The whole public, everybody is with him. And Kaikeyi changes the whole thing overnight. And Ram was called. Right? Ram was called and said, you have to go to forest. What did Ram say? So be it. And cheerfully. Are you with me? Never did he lose his cheer. His life was always lively, always cheerful. Are you with me? Therefore, Vedanta will put life into your life, provided you convert your life into Vedanta, not just study Vedanta once in a while. Don't blame Vedanta for all the cheer which is not there in your life. So, tasma sarveshu kalveshu maam anusmara yudhyacha mayi arpita mano buddhihi. What does that mean? Mayi arpita mano and buddhi. Your buddhi and mind both along with the body should be dedicated for this. So I said converting your life into a yogic life. Right? Tasmat sarveshu kaleshu mamanusmara yudhyacha. Now, how will this identification come? You have been having wrong association all this while. You don't need any, training needed for you to take your mind, to the world? There is no training required. You don't need training to destroy yourself. Training is needed. How to get stressed? Is there any training? Have you ever heard any training seminar? How to get stressed? How not to get stressed? Or how to relieve your stress? These things you need training. Isn't it? So to destroy yourself, go down the lane, you don't need training. How to go up the hill, you need training. So that training will be given by the scriptures. Provided you take the help of the scriptures training. And in this chapter, he gives various pointers. Kavim Purana Manushasitaram Anoraniyam Smaranusmaretyaha. That verse number 9. By constantly reflecting upon the pointers provided, with me, your mind will start getting hooked on to Brahman. Right? So first and foremost, you have to change your direction of your mind from you to the world. It's going now. It needs to be changed to you to Brahman. Are you with me? That is spiritual practice. That is sadhana.
little bit you leave your sadhana, your mind will again start going to the world. Because it's still not established. Believe me. You have to establish it again and again. Once it's established, thereafter it is only going in that direction. So he says, you have to shift from the world to Brahman. Okay, but I am not able to shift to Brahman because it is imperishable Nirguna. Therefore he says, you can take the help of Saguna. ठीक है, सगुण हेल्प यू कैन टेक, डोंट टू से ओनली निर्गुण हेल्प, बट व्हाट इज इम्पोर्टेंट इज सकाम भक्ति इज नॉट देयर, निष्काम भक्ति शुड बी देयर. सकाम भक्ति मीन्स व्हाट? डिजायर्ड एंड भक्ति. भगवान के पास जाके मुझे ये दे दो, मुझे वो दे दो, कॉन्फिडेंटली asking sakama bhakti. But it's okay in the beginning. But slowly sakama needs to be changed to nishkama. If it is nishkama, saguna upasana, you continue doing, slowly you will evolve to nishkama nirguna upasana, which is jnana. But supposing you did not evolve to that, but you have come up to this, which one? Nishkama Saguna Upasana, and you give up your body, you die. Then you go through Brahma Loka, and in Brahma Loka you will gain the capacity to identify with Nirguna Brahman. The Brahmaji will teach you the scriptures, and from there you realize yourself. This is called as Krama Mukti, meaning Mukti in stages. But for all practical purposes, the fact that you started shifting your mind from the world to God, you are redeemed. The two stages are direct attachment. Are you with me? But if you are able to come to this stage in life, where you are able to focus on Nirguna Upasana, then you realize yourself here and now by exhausting your vasana. Thereafter there is no more travelling. You don't go to any loka. But if you will get involved and do Sakama Saguna Ishwara Upasana here, get involved in your karma and rituals here, you will gain only punya and pap. The punya phala will have balam only to take you up to Swargaloka. The adhipati of Swargaloka is Indra, who is the most insecure fellow. Isn't it? Anybody who is sitting in kursi is the most insecure. Even here your kursi is not. Everybody first comes and looks at the kursi, it's gone. First, as soon as you enter, my seat is gone. So what does it teach you? If you want to catch your seat, you have to come early. I come early, that is why it is gone. Whereas my seat also will be gone. Suddenly some of you will be sitting and giving lecture. Anyway, Guruji, no, class is not there today, I will only give lecture. If we exhaust my lecturing partner. So no kursi is safe. Please understand this. Even in Gita class. Are you with me? Nothing is secure. Indra is the most agitated fellow because his seat is not safe. Anybody who is doing tapas gets fidgeting. So he said, Brahma, Urvashi, Tilokama, all these people to Menaka to come and dance. Meaning what? Distracts the fact. He wants to safeguard his seat. In other words, the Lord of Heaven Himself is insecure, and you are going to heaven thinking that you will be secure there. In other words, all these stories are told to make you think. In Thirukkural, in Tamil, Thirukkural says, Enni Thuniga Karmam. Thunindapin Endumam Enbadu Irukku. Which means, think before you do anything. Well, I will think about it later on. Which means it's a block. Before, so much effort. For what? For a secure place. After putting in that effort, you go there and find that it is also not secure. All your effort is wasted. Is it all your effort wasted? There's a story about a sage who was a jnani. Jnani is called as Ummantavat. Ummantavat means, you know what? Vat is a very important word here. Vat means like. Ummat means mad fellow. Jnani is not a mad fellow. Ummantavat means Jnani is like a mad fellow. Why? What is madness?
Doesn't care for
ego temporarily is lost for a mad fellow. Even drunken fellow, temporarily ego is gone. Isn't it? Mad fellow has no memory of the past. Isn't it? He doesn't know who is he, what is he. He has no memories of the past. Ego is nothing but memories of the past. He has no memories of the past. He can say anything, he can do anything. Ego is lost in the case of a jnani. Therefore he is called Ummattavat, like a mad fellow. Not mad, like a mad fellow. Is it clear? So there was a jnani. Leave him, he'll go. So the jnani in that village, what apparently he has to do? So what the jnani apparently used to do was, early in the morning, he will start lifting a boulder and rolling it up the hill with so much effort. By the evening, he reached the cliff with so much effort. Having reached the cliff, he will put the boulder down the hill. Are you with me? He'll kick the boulder. The boulder rolls and comes down, and from the top of the mountain he will throw both his arms up and laugh. So the whole village used to say, mad fellow.